following audio is from the Lifeway Church. For more information about the Lifeway, please visit our website at www.thelifeway.org.
Turn to your neighbor and say, "Don't give me bad advice." Come on, turn to your other neighbor and say, "Don't give me bad advice." Now, if this is your first week here in this series, you may be wondering why in the world would I go to church for bad advice? And so the whole concept behind this series is that if we honestly step back and made an assessment of our lives, our actions would often indicate that we are living life based on following bad advice. And so what we're doing in this series is we're taking four very important topics and we're giving some very direct and very bad advice. And hopefully hearing, you know, these jarringly bad tips in church, maybe it'll help you recognize some areas that you might be just maybe wandering or getting ready, or maybe you're way down already on the wrong course. And so let me start by asking this question this morning. How many of you are married? Would you lift your hands and keep them up? Don't, please, if you're married, please raise your hand. All right, leave. You don't want to get slapped later, I promise you, all right? Okay, so leave your hands up. All right. Now, those of you whose hands aren't raised here, that you aren't married, how many of you would like to be married one day? Put your hand up. One day you'd like to be married. All right? Some of you kids aren't sure. You don't even know if you want to get married? We might have to do another series. Okay, so looking around, that's probably about 80% of us. Go ahead and put your hands down. I'm going to ask you another question. Just kind of, some of you are holding your hands up for a while. Just, you know, get some blood back in your fingertips here. All right, here's one more question. If you are married, or if you one day would like to be married, how many of you, it is your goal one day to commit adultery? Let me see your hands. All right. No one married raised their hands. That's probably a good sign here this morning. It's interesting. No one. Nobody ever says, "I think one day I'm going to risk losing my marriage, losing the respect of my children, destroying and hurting my reputation." And while nobody plans on it, right? Nobody in this room raised their hand. How many of you know somebody? Right? I think probably most of us in this room know somebody that committed the sin of adultery. It happens all the time. And the fact that none of you raised your hands for the last question implies that you embrace the truth of one of the Ten Commandments that's actually found in Exodus 20, verse 14. And it just simply says, you must not commit adultery. Interestingly enough, even when including those who do not consider themselves religious or Christians, 90% of people in our nation believe and agree that adultery is always wrong. Yet according to one study done by the Journal of Psychology and Christianity, it found that 65% of husbands and 55% of wives will one day commit adultery. Think about that. That is painful. It's staggering. That is a devastating number. And while this particular study's findings are on the extreme end of the spectrum compared to some other studies that are done, I hope it gets your attention this morning and causes you just to hit the pause button and just think about it. Now, I want to, you know, first as we start, tell you that my goal today is not to induce fear or anxiety into anyone sitting here. I don't want to make anyone anxious or sit here wondering, well, man, is my spouse going to fall into that percentage? Is my spouse going to cheat on me? I really wish that I didn't have to teach a message like this, but can I tell you, this is a massive, massive problem in our society, and it's a big problem even in the church, even with followers of Jesus Christ. And while nobody walks down the aisles on their wedding day planning to commit adultery, so many people end up doing it. And so let me paint a picture of how this often plays out. You know, you're happily married, but then one day you start taking your spouse, you start taking your marriage for granted. You don't value your spouse as much as you used to, and what happens is your heart begins to drift. Perhaps you read something you shouldn't read. You see something you shouldn't see. You connect with someone on social media. It's no big deal. It always starts innocently. You know, they like a post. They laugh at your jokes. They like your sense of humor. You like their sense of humor. They like your duck face selfies. But it grows from there, and not long after that, soon you start meeting in chat rooms and you start sending private messages and you discover that this person is so interesting. But you know, at this point, it's really no big deal. I've got it all under control. And after a while, though, of communication, you learn just how many things you have in common and how this person just seems to understand and how they just seem to get you. And so what happens is then you start anticipating spending time with this person. And when you do hang out, you always have a good time. And soon you start inventing reasons to meet and spend even more time together. And then one day you accidentally kind of touch. You brush against each other. And then the next thing you know, you're doing something else. And after time passes, you wake up and you look back and you realize that you have traveled a long, long, long way. You didn't ever plan to move in that direction, but somehow, some way, you crossed several lines and you woke up and your marriage is in real trouble. Real trouble. If you have a great spouse, you're blessed with a great marriage, but one day you decide to just risk it all. Let me give you some really, really bad advice. 3 quick steps on how to commit adultery. If you're taking notes, this is very important. Bad advice, step number 1. The first fill in your blank in your outline is this. It's neglect your marriage. If your goal is to do something stupid, I recommend just neglect your marriage. It's really a pretty simple process. Just find something or find someone else to give your best to. And let me tell you this morning, it can be anything. It can be a hobby. It can be your job. It can be your yard. It can be your house. It can be social media. Let me tell you from my experience, it can even be the ministry. It can be your children. While we all know that our children are a gift from God, you can obsess over them to the point that you neglect and you destroy your marriage. It can be fitness, where your entire life revolves around your body and working out and eating, and to the point that it pushes everything away. But you can go to the other extreme. And you can just let yourself go. You can not take care of yourself. Never take the time to look good for your spouse. Take your spouse for granted. Don't talk. Don't have any kind of emotional intimacy. Don't ever open up. Stop sharing your feelings. Hold them inside. In fact, it's even better if you stop meeting your spouse's physical needs for sexual intimacy. And if you do it, make it boring. Make it predictable. Be a dud in the bedroom. Complain about it whenever it comes. Bad advice. Giving you bad advice on how do you commit adultery. Number 1, neglect your marriage. Number 2, enjoy common interest and form an emotional bond with someone else. If you want to commit adultery, enjoy common interest and form an emotional bond with someone else. What you want to do is find someone who is attractive and interesting and then spend as much time with them as you possibly can. It could be at work, it could be at the gym or any other place where you can meet and where you can connect with other people. And what you want to do is spend time with them and begin to tell yourself things like, he understands me. She likes my jokes. My spouse doesn't even relate to me this way. And because you've been neglecting your spouse in marriage, it's now easy then to bond emotionally with someone else. And when this begins to happen, whatever you do, make sure that you hide it. Hide it from your spouse. Don't ever let your spouse know about this other person. Start strategizing about how you can accidentally meet up with them. You know, well, if I go there at this time, you know, they're always at their desk at this time of the day, or they always go and get coffee on this time, or they're always at the gym at 6 a.m. I'll make sure that I'm there a little bit early so we can run into each other. Let me tell you, bad advice. Ladies, dress a little bit more provocatively. Guys, stand up straight, suck in the gut, you know, and do the little strut, you know, like you got it, you know, like, you know, you're going to pass out if you go 30 seconds, but you can hold it in for like 30 seconds, right? Get them to notice you, and then after they notice you, share your number with them. Text them. Text after work. In fact, direct messaging on social media is a great way to grow the relationship. Christians, if you want to make it spiritual, then say things like, you know what, I'm praying for you. You know, the Lord's just laid you on my heart. Bad advice. Neglect your marriage. Enjoy common interests and form an emotional bond with someone that is not your spouse. Number three, this is so hard this morning. Number three, make excuses and rationalize your actions. Make excuses and rationalize your actions. This works every single time. Tell yourself, if he was meeting my needs, if she would just pay some more attention to me. Turn the blame around. Put the blame on your spouse. Tell yourself things like, well, I'm not happy, and surely God wants me to be happy. When it comes to adultery, tell yourself things like, I'll never actually go through it. This is just harmless fun. This is just playful. I'm just flirting. It's not a big deal. They're just a friend. And before long, you'll cross that line. And when you do, and get ready to act on it, tell yourself things like, well, maybe this relationship was just meant to be. Because there's no reason that I could love somebody this much. This must have been what God really intended for me to do. Can I tell you, that is bad advice. Bad advice. While nobody plans to betray the one that we promised before God to love for better or for worse or for richer or for poorer or in sickness and in health. And it happens all the time because people follow these three steps. In our remaining time, I'm not going to give any more bad advice because this was brutal this morning. I want to turn the tables and give some very helpful and some very godly advice. Even if you're sitting here this morning and you're not married and you think, well, maybe I should have stayed home today, I want you to remember these things for when that day does come. Here are three thoughts on how to avoid adultery. The next blank in your outline, number one, is this: do whatever it takes to radically reduce the risks. Do whatever it takes to radically reduce the risks. In fact, it's interesting to me that the Bible tells us to fight and to resist all types of sin, except for one type, and that is sexual sin. I want you to watch what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:18. He says this, he says, run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does, for sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. And so when it comes to sexual sins, we need to run away. You need to run away as far as we can. Don't stand around and try to fight it. Don't resist it. Just get out of there, because it will destroy you. In Proverbs chapter 5, a father is speaking to his son about the adulterous woman, and I want you to listen to what he says about radically reducing the risk. In verse 8, he says this, he says, keep to a path far from her. Do not go near the door of her house. Radically reduce the risk. This wise father understands that most times this starts off innocently enough. It's just harmless fun. Nothing's really going to happen. I haven't committed adultery. I'd never do something like that. And all the while, what happens is you're crossing line after line after line after line. Here's the problem this morning is that we've mistakenly thought that the line of adultery is someplace way back there, that it's way over there. But what you need to understand that the line for sin, the line for adultery actually starts right here. It starts in our heart, it starts in our mind and in our eyes. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew 5:28, "But I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart." And so where does the line start? It starts here. It starts here. It starts in the mind long before you ever act on it. And so those of you that raised your hand and you're sitting here this morning and you're married, here's a great test to see where you're at. If your spouse were able to see a video of everything that you did all day, if your actions and your statements were recorded and they watched it, would they be blessed by your interactions or would they be hurt? I want you to think about it this morning. Did you laugh at a joke that you shouldn't have laughed at? Did you say something inappropriate to someone at work? Were you being entertained by something that would be hurtful? Would your body language portray faithfulness? Would a video of your life make your spouse say, "I'm so thankful for my wife. I'm so thankful for the way she handled that situation. I'm so thankful for my husband. He obviously treasures, he obviously values me." Those of you that aren't married, you might be sitting here and say, "Well, man, this is a great, easy week for me to be at church. I get a pass. Go get them, pastor. Get those married people. Just kind of lay into them good." No, no, no. Let me ask you this morning. If your future spouse saw your actions, would they even consider marrying you? So here are a few thoughts that'll help you radically reduce and almost completely eliminate the risk of committing adultery. These are some bullets in your outline. The first one is keep a growing relationship with Christ. Keep a growing relationship with Christ. If you're married, there's nothing more powerful than spending intimate spiritual time with your spouse. When you're sharing what God is showing in the Word, or maybe you take a few moments and you pray together, or maybe you're blessing a meal together, or maybe talking about spiritual things with your kids. In fact, just a couple of days ago, we woke up, it was Friday morning, and we were, Shyla and I were laying next to each other, and we were talking, and she began to share, "Well, God gave me, you know, I feel like I had this dream, and it was a spiritual dream, and man, I walked away, and it wasn't anything super major, super deep, but I walked away, and I felt connected to her more," right? It just did something inside of me because God was working in her and sharing some things with her. And so sharing spiritual intimacy will allow you to continue to grow and will greatly reduce the risk of you doing something that will be harmful in your relationship. All right, another one. Never be alone with the wrong people. Never be alone with the wrong people. You may think that this is old-fashioned, but I would strongly recommend if you're married here to not being alone with a person of the opposite sex, especially traveling in a car, going on a business trip. And I understand that in many work environments today, this is just the norm. It's just the accepted behavior. But just because it's normal, let me tell you this, doesn't mean it's wise. So I want to encourage you to guard yourself. Don't open up yourself to having intimate conversations with someone who is not your spouse. What we want to do is we want to like the father said in Proverbs is keep a path that is far from destruction. Another thing, this is a big one, is never talk bad about your spouse. Never talk bad about your spouse. I could preach this one hard, but maybe I'll just try to be nice. This is a heavy message today. Listen, all of us in this room who are married, we do things that get on our spouse's nerves. Don't say amen too loud, all right? That annoy us, that aggravate us, bother the fire out of us. But listen, never, never, never. There is never a good reason to talk bad about your spouse to someone else. Never. For goodness sakes, and it's sad that I even have to say this, but the culture we live in, don't post something bad about them on Facebook either. right? Be wise. Our spouses often become what you say about them. We create the world that we want to live in by the words that we speak. Our words become self-fulfilling prophecies. And some of you may be struggling in your marriage and it might not be as great as you want. I challenge you to take a look at the language that you're using. Take a look at the words that you're saying. Take a look at the things that you think you're saying in a teasing manner, and your spouse probably doesn't think that it's very funny, right? Guard your language. Never speak bad. Another thing is this: surround yourself with strong marriages. Surround yourself with strong marriages. We become like those that we are around. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Surround yourself with people that are growing spiritually, with those who can speak life into you. My goal is to spend as much time as possible with people that I want to become like. And so if you're around people who are always tearing down their spouses or doing stupid stuff or going out and getting wasted every weekend and putting themselves in bad environments and into bad situations, what are you doing there? Is you're surrounding yourself with bad company. And Scripture tells us that bad company corrupts good character. So surround yourself with strong marriages. And then finally, avoid all inappropriate places and situations. Don't go to the places that you might be tempted. Maybe you're going to be on a business trip and everybody's going out for drinks, and it may be best for you just to sit that one out and call your wife or call your husband and just stay in the hotel room, order a pizza. Maybe an ex or an old friend from years ago, maybe they private message you on social media. Oh, I'm in town and I just want to say hello. Listen, warning. Delete. You might be struggling with looking at inappropriate images on your devices. And if that's the case, I encourage you, there's lots of resources and tools out there to get some accountability and block those things from your devices. You may be in a job right now where you're actually flirting with danger. There's a coworker maybe that has caught your attention and you enjoy hanging out and you enjoy the time that you're together, but it's moving down a path that isn't healthy. And if that's the case, I encourage you to have the strength to ask to be moved, to go to a different department. I honestly, if that's where you're at this morning, I honestly would advise you to get another job. Because it's easier to find another job than it is to rebuild a broken marriage. Be wise. Do whatever it takes to radically reduce the risk. Number two, I want to encourage you to do whatever it takes to invest passionately in your marriage. Invest passionately in your marriage. Everybody say passionately. Come on, say it. Not passionately. Come on, say it. Passionately. Proverbs 5:18. You guys make me laugh. Proverbs 5:18 says this: may your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. A loving doe, a graceful deer, may her breast satisfy you always. May you ever be intoxicated with her love. Verse 20, why, my son, be intoxicated with another man's wife? And that word intoxicated that showed up in verse 19 and 20, it means to be ravished. It means to be captivated. It means to be consumed. Are you ravished this morning? Are you captivated? Are you consumed by your spouse? And if you can't say yes this morning, I encourage you, today is a great day to make some investments, some passionate investments into your marriage. This wise father is essentially saying, if it seems like the grass is greener somewhere else, it's time to water your own lawn. Make sure that you guard your alone time. Listen, every couple here, their rhythms are a little bit differently. Learn what your rhythm is. For Shyla and I, we can't go more than 2 weeks without having a date night, a night set aside for ourselves where we're just no kids, where we just go out and it's just us. Listen, find what your rhythm is, but you need to set that time aside. You may say here, well, that's all nice, Andrew. You're rich and you got all that money. You can do, pastors don't do anything. They just, you just get rich and just sit back and kick their feet up and we can't afford it. Listen, no. You can't afford not to do it. Do a kid swap with some friends. Find another family that's got kids your age and agree to swap every other week. So one week you can go out and then the next week they can go out and then go to, Subway and buy two $5 footlongs and for $10 go down to the beach and have a date. Look into each other's eyes. Right? Look, reconnect with one another. Get away from the phones. Turn your phones off and just reconnect with the way, we live in this society that is consistently bashing us and pushing us. And most of us hear nothing but garbage at work every single day. And the sad thing is we come home and we're not getting the words of affirmation from the ones that we love the most. It's difficult. We live in a tough world. Our homes and our language should be a place that builds one another up. And so if there isn't time in your life set apart for just you and your spouse, you are asking for trouble in your marriage. If you feel like your marriage is running on empty, I encourage you to invest the time and invest the energy and the resources necessary to refill the tank. If you used to have something special that you don't have now, I promise you that you were doing something then that you aren't doing now. So start doing again what you once did. Do whatever it takes to invest passionately in your marriage. I want to see everybody, if you've not gone on a date in a long time, your homework assignment this week or next week, I'll give you 2 weeks. I know this is a busy week for those of you that serve on the dream team and lots of stuff. But in the next 2 weeks, you need to take your wife out on a date. You need to, or your husband out on a date. And you need to, post the pictures online and celebrate that. And listen, it's so important. So important. You know, your kids are looking. So many of us, we don't go on our dates because we're worried about, our kids. Listen. Our whole lives revolve around our kids. Listen, our children are watching you. Men, how you treat your wife is how your sons are going to treat your wife. Women, how you treat your husband and how your daughters are going to treat their future husbands. They are watching. They need to see you romance or open the door for her, buy her flowers, do something that makes her happy, figure out what her love language is. And spoiler, invest passionately. Number three, visualize the potential destruction. Visualize the destruction of what would happen if you committed the sin of adultery and were unfaithful. Proverbs 5 again, the father says to the son, for the lips of an immoral woman, and let me add the immoral man here as well. They are as sweet as honey and their mouth is smoother than oil, but in the end they are as bitter as poison, as dangerous as a double-edged sword. Their feet go down to death. Their steps lead straight to the grave. I know this is tough preaching here this morning, but men, imagine sitting down with your kids and saying, hey, here's why I can't live here anymore. Picture what that conversation would be like. Ladies, imagine saying, kids, your dad's best friend. Well, we spent too much time together, and so because of that, I'm moving out. Imagine what that conversation would be like. Imagine the tears in your children's eyes as their entire world, everything that they know, all their hope, everything that they trust comes crashing down. Visualize the destruction. Let me tell you, Satan is on the prowl, and he wants to steal, kill, and destroy everything that matters to God. And can I tell you, one of the things that matters most to God is our marriages. Unfortunately, even with a message like this, some people are so consumed with their newfound love that they think no matter the pain, no matter what the cost is, they're just going to move ahead. And so if by chance someone may be sitting here and you might be considering this, I want to share some statistics with you. Studies show that only 3% of the people who commit adultery end up marrying each other. Only 3%. In other words, when one person leaves their spouse for another, only 3% of those people actually make it to marriage. Of those 3% who get married, 75% of those marriages end in divorce. The odds of having a lasting marriage with the person that you are considering leaving your spouse for is 0.075%. You've got less than a 1% chance of making it. And why? The reason why is because it's a relationship that's built on lies. It's a relationship that's built on deceit. There's no trust. There's no integrity. Christ is not a part of it. There's lust, but there's not true agape love. And agape love is what gives you the ability to have a long-standing and long-lasting marriage. And I know this morning this was not the most comfortable subject. I know this was probably difficult for some of us sitting here this morning. There are people in this room who have been significantly hurt because of this type of sin and behavior. There are those of you that you've been betrayed, and can I tell you, that breaks the heart of God. And I also know that there are those of you here who've been betrayed by a spouse, and many of you are wanting to, or you've betrayed your spouse, and you're wanting to heal from it, and you're wanting to grow through it. And I want to encourage you this morning, if that's where you find yourself, the grace of God is very real. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You are not judged. You are not pushed away. If there is a deep and if there is a true repentance, there is absolute and complete forgiveness and healing. Can I tell you this morning, the arms of God are open wide. If you'll come back to Him. Some of you need to forgive yourself. God's forgiven you, but you've not forgiven yourself. In fact, I want to end this morning with some very good news because like I said, some of this has been very tough. The last blank in your outline, the good news is this, is that even when we are unfaithful, God is faithful. Even when we are unfaithful, God is always faithful. I love this verse of Scripture, 2 Timothy 2:13. It says, if we are unfaithful, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny who He is. Every single one of us at some time, we've been unfaithful in some way. Nobody here is perfect. And so the good news is that God is always faithful. Whatever our spiritual enemy meant to destroy, I want to tell you this morning, God can rebuild it. Our God can heal. Our God can forgive. Even in our unfaithfulness, God can make all things new. So if you've been hurt in this way by a spouse that's committed adultery, listen, you can argue all day long, and you'd be absolutely correct in stating that adultery is biblical grounds for divorce. And you'd be right. That's what the Scripture actually says. But can I tell you this morning, that adultery is also biblical grounds for forgiveness. Our God can take what the enemy meant to destroy, and He can use it to make your marriage better, stronger. He can even make it brand new. As we close this morning, this has been a heavy topic. And while this message may not be applicable to exactly where you are in this season of your life, I want to bring it home to a place that really will settle with each and every one of us in this room. If I can be brutally honest with you this morning, the truth of the matter is each and every one of us in this room, we've all committed spiritual adultery against God. Every single one of us, we've sinned against Him. The sobering verse that we read earlier that said if we look lustfully, we've committed adultery in our hearts. I don't know very many people who have never had a lustful thought. The reality is that each and every one of us are sinners, and in a transparent moment, many of us would say, you know what? I've done some hurtful things. I've done some horrible things in my life. And if I were to ask you right now, how do you stand with God? Where are you at spiritually? There might be some of you here that would say, well, you know what, I'm not sure. I don't know. I hope I'm okay, but I might be in trouble because I've done some bad things. Can I tell you this morning, point blank, without Christ, each and every one of us here are in trouble. Every single one of us, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of God's great standard. And that's why this book, that's why the good news is such good news, is that even though we're unfaithful, God remains faithful. And in his faithfulness, he did something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. He robed himself in flesh. He came to earth. He was perfect. He was without sin. And he went to the cross. He went to Calvary. He took on my sin. He took on your sin. And he went to the cross and he died in our place so that we could be set free. And then he rose again also that anyone who would call on the name of the Lord would be saved. There are those of you here who recognize, you know what, I need spiritual help. I need forgiveness. I need his grace. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, if that's where you're at, I want you to lift your hands right now. I want to pray for you. Is anybody here says, you know, I'm ready to make that choice today and move closer to Jesus. This is the greatest decision that you could ever make. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord, today I ask that you would forgive me of all of my sins, Lord. Make me new, Lord. I pray that you would fill me with your spirit so that I could know you, so that I could serve you and follow you. Lord, today I give my life to you. Lord Jesus, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would do a work in our hearts today. For some, this is a painful message, and I pray that as maybe they've been hurt by this, that they would understand that perhaps you could use a message like this to keep others from being hurt in a similar way, Lord Jesus. Lord, I ask that your Spirit would speak to us, Lord God, that it would strengthen us, Lord God, to keep us from giving in to the temptations of the evil one, Lord Jesus. Lord, for those who may be here who aren't yet married, Lord God, that the principles that we talked about would be planted deep within their hearts and would give them the tools they need for success in the future. Lord God, I pray for each and every marriage that's represented in this room. I know that there are some here that may be struggling. They may be hurting, Lord God, and I pray that you would give us the strength to work through these massive challenges. And Lord, even if that means reaching out to a counselor, Lord God, Lord, we promised you. We promised our spouse for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, Lord, in sickness and in health, that we would be faithful and that we would stay together as long as we both would live. And so, Lord, today I pray by the power of your Spirit, Lord God, that there would be healing where there's hurt. Lord God, that there would be forgiveness, that there would be new life, Lord God, for those marriages, Lord Jesus, that are here this morning, Lord God, that are blessed. Lord God, I pray that you would let us be vigilant, that we would not take it for granted, that we would guard, Lord Jesus, what you've given us, Lord God, and that we would continue to walk intimately with you, Lord Jesus. Draw us close to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you've been encouraged by it. If you'd like more information about The Lifeway, please visit thelifeway.org.